Grace and peace be unto you from the one who was and who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What about you? Do you have a favorite superhero? When you were growing up, was that in vogue? Okay, what about your grandchildren or your children? Who do they talk about as their favorite superheroes? Or let me rephrase that. Heroes. Who are your favorite heroes? Yes. You forgot?
There's many.
Keep thinking. Let's see if somebody else. Martin Luther King Jr. A favorite, too. Yes?
My favorite hero is the greatest generation.
And we're losing them, right? I don't know at what rate, but me quito el sombrero, we say in Spanish. I take my hat off because they knew what it was like to sacrifice for something greater than themselves. Indeed. Who are your heroes? Yes.
Mother Teresa.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Maria Kappermeyer. I don't know that one. I'm sorry.
Oh,
okay. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Nelson Mandela.
You know, we do a disservice to our heroes when we think of them as superheroes. I think that we rob them of their greatness when we think of them as extraordinary in a sense that that it's ontological, that it's inherent to they are, as opposed to believing that what made them extraordinary was the fact that being ordinary, they dare to believe that they could do extraordinary things. I think that the real greatness of our heroes is the fact that they were bold. It's the fact that they were bold enough to believe that ordinary people could be used by God to do extraordinary things. I believe the same is true about saints. That is why the Lutheran Church has a slightly different understanding of saints than our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. You see, we believe that saints are not saints because they were different from us, either in terms of their biology or their souls or anything. Saints were people that were bold enough to truly trust in God, to truly believe in God. And when we forget that, not only do we do a disservice to them, but we do a disservice to ourselves as well. Because we look at the saints, we look at Mother Teresa, we look at Martin Luther King Jr., we look at all of them, and we see them as bigger than life. And we think, of course she did that. Of course he did that. He was a saint. She was a saint. And we forget that in that way, we not only put ourselves in a position where we feel that we cannot do something extraordinary as well, but we also excuse ourselves from even trying. But if we see them for who they really were, simple human beings that dare to believe that God will do great things through them, then we can understand their true greatness, and then we can open ourselves up for God to work through us. The same is true about Mary, the mother of our Lord. Mary, we really have lifted high, very high. This morning we had our first Spanish service, and I was telling the people that, especially in the Latino community, sometimes people pray more to Mary than to God. It is that high that we have lifted up Mary. But in lifting her up so high, we rob her of her true greatness. You see, Mary was great not because she was born different than the rest of us. Mary was not great even because of the miracle that happened in her womb, although that really was a miracle. But Mary was great first because of the miracle that happened in her heart. Mary was great because when the angel appeared to her, she dared to believe that that was true. that it was an angel and that it had been heard that God had chosen. I think it was you, Ruth, in the Bible study last week that said that. It says that, wow, it was really bold of her to think that she could be elected by God to carry the Savior. And so what makes Mary great is not that she was different from us. What makes Mary great is that even though she was an ordinary young woman, she believed that God would fulfill the word that she had received. Now, she did not come to this faith alone. There's another woman in this story that we just heard. She had a relative. We don't know if this is an aunt or a cousin, but it's an older relative. This is Elizabeth. And in the story, Mary left her hometown to go and visit Elizabeth. Now, during the Bible study, we were having a little debate about why she did that. One theory is that she went to help Elizabeth give birth. Another theory is that because she was pregnant and she was not married, neighbors can be cruel sometimes. And maybe she had to leave to be protected from the neighbors from the village. And she was received by Elizabeth. But Elizabeth is also an extraordinary woman because she too believed, and she too, even though she was of advanced age, became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she gave birth to, well, you know who she gave birth to, right? To John the Baptist. And so even though she was of advanced age, God was not done with her yet. God still had something in store for her. When I was reading about Elizabeth, I started thinking about the concept of being retired. Not because I want to retire anytime soon, but because I keep hearing people about being retired. And sometimes I wonder if they're talking about retiring from a particular career or retirement as a state of being. It's almost like a pause. Sometimes I visit with people where they're living, and it sounds like they believe that their life is over. Retirement just means they're now sitting waiting for God to call them. And I believe that this gospel helps us understand that even after retirement, God can do great things in people's lives if they dare to believe that that is the case. And it's not only retirement, but it's when you reach that point in your life when there are limits and you feel that I have reached the limits of my life, whether that's vocationally, whether that's because of physical skill, whether that's because of mental skill, whether that's because of the circumstances that we're living in. When we reach those limits, it's like the desert is what's on the other side of the limits. And we believe that that's it. It's over. But Elizabeth reminds us that even in the desert, like the prophet said, Isaiah, God can create an oasis. God can make water flow. And that is the message for us as well. Like Mary and like Elizabeth, faith can open us up, regardless of whether we are at the beginning of our life or whether we are towards the end. God is still at work. God can do great things through us if we open our hearts through faith. Now, what is it that Elizabeth did? When Mary arrived, Elizabeth affirmed her faith. She affirmed to Mary that God had indeed chosen her. I think that Mary probably needed that because it's an amazing thing to feel that you have been chosen by God. And Elizabeth affirmed that for her. You see, Mary believed, but she did not create that faith. She had received it from people like Elizabeth. And Mary understood that God worked marvels, but through normal people, through ordinary people, because she probably had heard the stories of the faith. I wonder if it was Elizabeth who told her the story of Miriam. You know Miriam, Moses' sister. You know that Moses, when he was a baby, he was saved. Remember how he was saved? Because he was put in a basket, and then the basket was put in the river, and then the river carried the baby to the princess. Now, all that was Miriam's idea. It was Miriam's and her mom's idea to do that. I bet Mary grew up hearing about what Miriam did. I bet that Mary grew up hearing the amazing story of Queen Esther. Queen Esther, who became married to a powerful king, and then heard that the prime minister was plotting to commit genocide against her own people. And then she was bold enough to risk her skin and her neck to do something because she thought maybe it was for a time such as this that I have come to this position. And because she dared to believe that she could make a difference, her people were saved and genocide was not committed. Or maybe she also heard the story of Deborah. I don't know if you have heard of that that female prophet who told Barak, a general, that God was going to give him the victory if he went and he fought against a more powerful army. And you know what Barak said? I want you to come with me. And she said, I'll go with you, but then the victory will be mine, not yours. And so they did, and they won. And so Mary probably grew up listening to these stories, and those stories nurture her faith. And so when the angel appeared to her, when the moment of grace happened, she recognized that, yes, indeed, this is how God works, doing extraordinary things through ordinary means. And so all that remained for her was to say, yes, yes. That is our work as well. We need to teach our youth, our children, our grandchildren those stories. We need to teach them about how God is at work. We need to teach them about the God that makes a way where there is no way. We need to teach them about the God that creates a garden in the desert, even though deserts are important too. We got to teach our children that, yes, God works marvels, that God works in miraculous ways, but not through magic. God works through human beings that say yes to God's will. Yes, God liberated the people from Egypt, but it took Moses to say yes. Yes, God gave the promised land to the people of Israel, but it took for Joshua to say yes. And so even today, God continues to be at work in our midst. But if we don't tell our youth, who will tell them? How will they know to recognize the angel when the angel appears to them? And also through us, God is at work. And so I don't think that there's, I haven't heard any stories of people getting pregnant these days at an advanced age, so I think we're safe there. But I think that God still works marvels in our lives, and we should be open and ready for some extraordinary things to happen in our lives. So when you see the angel, say yes.